Oh, that's right. We're right here at WCRS Studio 637 Durst Avenue. I hope you've been checking out on our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, and on the Antique Vintager Emporium on Facebook. We have a little video of an amethyst, and we want to know how many carats do you think that is, the three that are closest to the weight without going over. Three people can win a Frank's Deluxe Car Wash. How about that? So check that out, WCRS.AM Radio, or just put my name in, A-N-A-N-N-E-L-E-R, E-L-L-E-R. Put a guess in there, and who knows, you could win a car wash from Frank's Car Wash. But that aside, we're talking emergency management here today and all the things that it entails. And I have the one and only George McKinney with us here today. He is the Director of Emergency Management. How you doing today, George?
Doing great, Ann. And you?
Very good. Good to have you here. I tell you what, this season has been riddled with a lot of rain, George.
Well, it definitely has. We've had our share. I know last month, the month of June, we had on an average of, in places, over 10 inches of rain in the county. So it's been real wet,
it has to say the least. It has been real wet. And it's been challenging, I think, to some of the road systems and everything.
Correct, yeah. We've had some roads that have kind of, I won't say totally washed out, but have had some real issues with them that we've had to work with. Right now, Mathis Road, we've had it closed for a while. That's been part of it, of the issue. I know today I just got a call from DOT that they're having to close Calliston Road between Browntown Road and back towards Calliston Highway, back in that area, the creek there, because it's washed out some. And
because the creek did rise, right?
Yeah, the creek did rise. The creek did rise. Yeah. And so that's been a lots of stuff. Had lots of trees down, lots of them, unfortunately, on homes and on power lines. But with how wet the soil is right now, it doesn't take much wind to blow trees over. In fact, I had one this morning blow over, and we haven't had any storms and stuff this morning. So it's
well, it's amazing because we think that the roots go real deep into the ground. But for a lot of trees, they're really very much on the surface, but they spread out far.
Correct, yeah, and that's it. And you can see, I mean, the oak tree is the biggest one that does that, and you can always see it blows over and it pulls all of that soil up with it most of the time too. So that is a challenge at this time of the year. And in a way, we've stayed a little cooler than we have, though, so that's another good side of it, I guess.
But the grass is growing real fast, George.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, that's
what
I always...
Can't keep ahead of it.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Well, you know, you've been doing some interesting things with Code Red. In fact, what was it, a few weeks ago, you ran a test area and were calling people. I know on our phones here at WCRS and the Antique Vintager, I felt like the phones just wouldn't quit ringing with, hello, this is George McKinney. How were you and everywhere at one time, George?
Code Red, that's how I am.
Yeah.
Now, we did do that. We try to do that about every 2 years with the system. This is our third year, full year that we've gone through. So we're a little behind on that this time, and I'm not certain why we didn't do it last year. But we try to do that in the month of June towards the end. That's when our contract starts in the 1st of July, so we do it with the minutes left over, and then they provide some minutes if we need it. But what that is to test the system, to test also to make sure that we are not overloading the system, and that we are also able to clear out some numbers that may have left or changed or something in there. It makes the system more efficient, if you will, in being able to call. And so that's what we do every year, and we use that also as an opportunity, because just because I made a call to you, you may be in the 911 system, but you may not be registered for Code Red, because there's two separate things. One, if you in the 911 system, we will call your landline number, but we may not get your cell phone or anything there. So that's another reason we use as an opportunity for people to sign up.
Ah, okay. Well, so what do people have to do now? You know, Code Red, we talk about it. We know what we're talking about. But for those that don't know what Code Red is about, what does Code Red do for the people?
It's twofold, really. It's a way for us within the governmental side to be able to contact citizens for a myriad of different things. If there's an emergency, we've had to call for evacuations recently due to a chemical release. We've also had to do some calls for closed roads. We had the wreck up in 178 North, and we had to call in that area and let people know that it was there so that we could keep them out of the area a little bit. So we use it for that side of the house, but it also, there's a weather side of it too, to let people know that, hey, you've got severe weather coming, and that's been a very happening thing this year with lots of severe thunderstorms. We've not had tornado warnings, knock on wood, but we've had severe thunderstorms coming through the area and had some flash flooding, so that's some of the things they've done. But then also we've used it to call and let people know that Metro is going to be in your area doing some work or something, or we're, you know, other agencies are going to be. So it's just kind of, we use it threefold there to go through that process.
The sheriff's office is missing somebody.
Yeah, some of that stuff too. So we do it for emergencies, we do it for non-emergencies, and we do it for severe weather. And so, and you can get it by cell phone, home phone,
text,
email, text, and Facebook here pretty soon. That's one of the things that we're starting to do. So you can sign up and go through the Facebook side of the house too. So that's another way. So in this technological world, everybody's reaching out to figure out how they can best do it. And by the way, you can get it with an app now on your phone as well, on your smartphone, that will tell
you. That's what we need, another app.
Well, this one is free.
Yes, okay.
That's a free app.
Okay.
It'll let you know, and it works anywhere in the U.S. that Code Red is at, and it's all over the U.S., and you can, it will alert you if you go into an area. As an example, I had a friend that was telling me the other day that they have the app, and they were up in an area, and they had a gunman out and that had taken a hostage, and they put out the word, and they got it right there on their phone, letting them know that there was where it was at and everything. So it's something you can use not only here in Greenwood, but you can take that app elsewhere. And that's one of the things we did a little bit at the Festival of Discovery, is getting people to sign up for that, because then they get the weather there. Now, you'll get the weather free for 30 days with that. If you want to continue on, you got to spend an exorbitant amount of money of 99 cents, one time.
Oh my God, George!
One time, 99 cents, and it will give you the weather anywhere in the U.S. at that point in time. So,
how about that?
So it's just something that's there too, that's out there, and you don't have to be signed up. You can set up just that app and use that within the system too, if you would like to do that. And what that will do with us is it gives me the capability. I put it out. I can put stuff out on that app as well. And I do that every time we have an event, so that people coming in, like especially when we had the tanker that wrecked up on 178 North and closed that down, I had it up. So people coming into the area, and you can set that up. It will give you, you can look at the whole U.S., you can set it up for a 5-mile radius or a 25-mile radius or whatever you want to do, and whatever pops up, it'll show up on your phone for you at that point in time. So if you're traveling, it's a great tool to have also in your
So what's it called?
It is called the Code Red app.
Code Red app.
Can go to Google Play or to the Apple Store, and it's you can download it right there. It's Code Red Mobile Alert app is what it is.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good one, and particularly if you spend that whopping 99 cents, you'll always know the weather in your area, correct?
Right. Correct. In your area, anywhere you're at.
Right.
So if your phone is there, it will find you.
Now, one of the things that I was curious about, George, is I know that when the lady, excuse me, went missing out there at Gatewood, you send it out to a specific targeted market of people. But with cell phones, how do you know what area that you're actually targeting?
As far as that, when I do the app, mm-hmm. what happens is it goes out, and it depends. I mean, I can right now on my app, I can look at any of those messages in the U.S. I can look at ones that are in Chicago, sitting here.
Sure, but if you're pushing it out here in Greenwood, how do you know, or does that even come in when you're saying that you do a 3-mile radius or a 5-mile radius?
Well, we do that based on the fact of address points. So what happens is it will come in, that you register your cell phone to an address point.
Okay.
And so within that 3 mile radius like I did there, it lets me know, and it tells me if it's a cell phone or if it's a landline, and it tells me how many are called, who answers, who doesn't, who gets an answering machine, who the operator times out. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff that I get on there, information on who got that. So that's the way we use that. So it's really based on your address if you're wanting to get phone calls specifically, but if you're wanting to use the app, you don't have to. It's not really based on a location. You can get it based on a radius of an area, and it's based on an area.
And I guess it'll ask you that it wants to know your GPS location at all times, right?
Well, it will do that, correct. It will want to do that. If you don't want to do that, you can turn your GPS off, but then you can look at it as you're going along. Now, it won't alert you immediately, but if you want to look, and you can hold it up, and you can look at all of the applications that are, all the incidents that are going on. From boil water alerts, there's a lots of those that I see across the U.S., and anybody can look at them. So if you're going to that area and you're in that little block, you would get that and be able to see, hey, my motel's here, I need to boil the water before I drink, or running over to Walmart to buy some extra water or something.
So, you know, it is amazing. I'm just curious, how did we survive before we had all this information? You know, seriously, boil water and, you know, all these things and tanker trucks and closed roads and washed out roads. Mm-hmm. How did we ever survive?
I think we would survive without it. I think it's a better system now that allows us to do this and notify people. Of course, probably... as I was growing up, there weren't as many people either, and so it was a little bit easier to do that, and we didn't, I'm not saying we didn't have the issues, but I can remember I rode lots of bicycles without helmets and without shoes, and nowadays you can't find that, so I mean,
yeah, that's true.
So it is amazing how we have survived, but I think to a degree it is also, there's a lot more that's in the world today, so there's some things that weren't necessarily around when as we were growing up. And so,
yeah, we used not to lock our doors, right?
That's true. That's, I can remember too. That too.
So now there's another app, I think. Isn't there a SCEMD?
Correct. The South Carolina Emergency Management Division this year put out an app, and it is called the let me see here. I get it right here. The South Carolina Emergency Manager app. And it is a free app that you can go to Google Play or to Apple Store and get that as well. And what that does, it's a little bit more focused. It does, when I say that, it's more, lots more things it will do. It is there, number one, to help you develop a plan for yourself. We all need a plan for our home and for our stuff, but it goes through all the steps. It's focused on the FEMA are you ready side of the house, and it goes through that process there. But it also has other things that are specific to the state. From a hurricane standpoint, it also has all of the evacuation shelters. It will show those, but if there are shelters for other things, it'll show those shelters opening too. So in other words, if I had to open a shelter here, you'll be able to pull that map up and you'll be able to see the shelters that are open here too. It has a toolbox on there. It has a cool whistle that you can use. So if you're hurt and you can't scream or holler or whatever and you need something, you can press that and it, a nice whistle or bells go off and you do that. But it also will tell you your exact GPS location. All of your phones will do that, but it's hard to get through there. With this app, it brings it straight to the front and it tells you exactly. So if you're on the phone and you're out somewhere and had a wreck on the side of the road, don't know the address, you can pull that up and you're trapped or something, you can tell the 911 operators exactly where you're at, and they're able to pull that up. So that's another good thing. And then they also have a few other things that are on there that will help you out as far as preparing for emergencies and stuff, as well as developing a communication plan. So it's a good app. It's like I say, it's free. You can go to the Google Play Store. Google and Apple don't go together, right? Or the Apple Store, and pull those down. And I've got it on my phone. And have worked with it, and it's been real good. Oh, it has a flashlight on there, too. So it's got a flashlight that's inside of it, too, that strobes as well as does an SOS for you. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that would have been real helpful. Jeff and I were in an accident. I guess this was back in 95, 96, 97, somewhere in there. And we were headed to Anderson to get on 85, and the van careened, skidded across a field, hydroplaned across a field. Anyways, So I'm calling 911 because I was hurt. And Jeff looked at me and he goes, "What do you mean you're hurt?" And I said, "I can't move. Hand me the phone." So anyways, he handed me the phone. But the first thing they asked, "Where are you at?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, we're out in a field." I couldn't tell where we were. We just had driven by, and that was the most I could give them. All of a sudden, they said, "We just had somebody call in to alert us that there would be an accident. I know right where you're at," so they could send the ambulance and everything. But
Now, and that is true. And I mean, and like you say, in 95, if you'd have had this app, you could have said, "Here's my lat long,"
right?
And they would have been able to find you exactly where you were at.
Exactly.
On that. So it's a good app to use out there. Once again, you can download that. But I encourage everyone to use the app also, not just to find your location if you're in a wreck, but also develop a plan with your family and stuff too on how to prepare. I know we're not hit by hurricanes very much up here. We get a little bit of the after effects from the severe weather and maybe a little bit of the wind, but we don't get the storm surge and stuff that's out there. But we do have other things such as tornado, flooding. We've had severe weather. We've had a couple of hazmat incidents in the county this year that we've had to ask people to evacuate from. So one was a little bit larger than the other, but still having that plan and what you're going to do and making sure your children, it's something you can share with your children. You know, all of these millennials now, they love these phones and stuff, so that's another way we reach out to the millennial side of the house too. So
you know, George, one of the things they keep talking about, though, and this is a little off the subject but still interesting, from the standpoint of what would happen if the grid went down. You know, we talk they're always talking about if we were attacked, if the grid went down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would happen?
Well, that is probably one of the worst events that are there. And we do practice. We just had an event where we did the power and where the grid system did go down. Mm-hmm. And what we would do is our best with that. Lots of generators on the backup. But I will tell you, on the general public, it's going to be real rough. I mean, it's going to be hard for us to get lots of stuff to individuals. Hopefully we'll be able to take care of the medically needed individuals and open up enough for that. But in lots of cases, you're going to have to be prepared. You know, like I say, if you go down, if the grid went down right now, you're going to have your cell phone coverage for probably 24 hours. Okay, so you're going to have some cell phone coverage and stuff there. The great thing about the app, you don't have to be connected to the web or to the internet to do it. You can still have your information on your system with that South Carolina Emergency Management app. So there is lots of work that goes into that one, because it's not only about the power outage, but it's also the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth orders of effects that could occur because of that.
Exactly.
And it's everything from, where do we get our water? You know, yes, we've got plenty of backup out there from a generator to run our water system here. So it would be pretty good for 24, 48 hours. But then we've got to be looking for fuel. So we have to take fuel out to that. And so how do you get the fuel to get it to them? And where do you get it from?
If everything's shut down and there's no pumps pumping. Yeah,
it could be. So there's other ways to get it out of the tanks, but it's not as efficient. Excuse me. So there were some things we'd have to work through there to get the fuel to those. And we went through that exercise, I think it was November of this past year, and we sat down with from medical side to the energy side to emergency services to other agencies and other businesses out in the community on how we would go about doing lots of this stuff. We don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. That's still lots to go through, and hopefully we've been working on it. We've met again. I'm trying to think, it was March or April, we met again with a group of them to kind of go through pretty much focused on the medical side on some of the things from the hospital and things of that nature that's there. So it's been we've been working towards it, but once again, it takes the citizens would want to look at possibly getting generators for their homes too. Now, you don't have to get gasoline generators. You could probably get a natural gas generator if you've got natural gas coming there, or a propane generator or something like that. Now, if you've got something that is going to have to be refilled, it could take a while. It depends on how much propane you have. So that's something to look at, though, is getting generators for backup, especially if you need it. If you have some type of medical issues or stuff that you've got to have that power, that's a very important thing to do, is to get a generator and have that backup at your place. We do have those medical need shelters that we would open. But once again, they've got to have gas also, so you go through there. So hopefully if the grid did go down, we could get it back up fairly quickly, because, and when I say fairly quickly, within a few weeks, couple of weeks or a few weeks, because...
A few weeks?
Yeah, there would be no Big Bang Theory and stuff for a while to be able to see. So, yeah.
You need to be prepared. I mean, that's something that is mm-hmm. that is really a concern for our whole country.
Correct.
Not only for our
Correct.
Area, but they talk about this on mm-hmm. various times. And
yeah.
what would you do, and how unprepared, really, our country is for this?
Yeah. There is a book that I just finished reading. It's called One Second After. It kind of talks about a electromagnetic pulse that was set off, and it knocks out the power to the whole United States. And I would encourage people to read that book. It'll kind of enlighten you on what you need to prepare for in that area. So,
are you prepared, George?
I wouldn't say I'm 100%. There's some things that I still need to do, and that book helped me see a few things. So, I am working towards that. So,
towards
I mean,
that.
It is hard to be 100% for everything.
Sure.
So you have to. I will tell you, though, the bigger thing is coming together as a community and being able to help each other with the things that are there. So, and that's part of that book, too, and how the community pulls together. So it's a good book in that sense, too. And I'll tell you, emergency management is not about just government. It's about the whole community. Everybody has to pitch in. And that's one of the things that really came out of that exercise we did in November, was the understanding that, hey, you know, this place over here may have fuel, but this place over here really needs that fuel. So how do we share that as we go across, and how do we build those relationships? And so that's lots about what emergency management is, building that and getting the whole community involved in that process and understanding, because it, not only one person can know all of it.
Well, you know, I look back at how I remember when Governor Haley and the hurricanes and the emergency management and all the teams that went out across the state, and it was really a concerted effort across the whole state. And of course, a community is a microcosm of the state. Yeah,
that's it. And I will tell you, there's different levels of community, and that's one of the things that I look at. I mean, a church is a community if you look at it, and even though it's not as it was many years ago, because it used to be that the community built a single church and the community stayed in that church. Now, you may live in Lawrence and go to church in Greenwood, so
right.
but you're still part of a community in that sense. So I encourage all of those communities to kind of look after their individuals and be a part of that emergency management process, because it's important. It's there. I'll tell you, lots of them, I know my mom, she's a member of a women's group, and it's easy from that and from the church, and it's easy for them just to check up on each other, and they call. And that's one of the things we need to do, is knowing those and establishing that. And it used to be more prevalent, I think, because
sure.
we were a closer community. Not that we aren't closer now, but we are, how do I say this, more...
People are more in their own circles.
Well,
yeah.
and maybe in their own circles too, but we are a very dynamic community, more so than what we were before, because like I say, your community may consist of people from other counties too. So that's one of the things that makes it a little bit more challenging, I think, to pull those communities as a whole together.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, our one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right here at WCRS Studios, listening to the news, listening to what's happening in the world, and Thank God we're in Greenwood, South Carolina. Right, George?
That's right. Best place in God's country.
That's right. George McKinney here with Emergency Management. We've been talking about some of the things that you may want to think about. And while we don't like to think that you might want to have a generator, or particularly if you have somebody with a medical condition that needs things, this may be something to really consider, because they keep talking about the possibilities of the grid going down. And we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, speaking of that, at the hospital a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we had some issues there with the power outage.
And their generator was down, too.
Well, yeah, it knocked out all of that. So that's one of the things that they had to work through. But one of the things that we had worked on as part of that process. So it was already, they had already worked through that whole process to know what they were looking at doing and how they were going to handle the different situations and stuff. So it worked out real well in the sense of that. You know, there were no individuals injured or hurt by this. Closed down some surgeries and different things of that nature. But overall, it was a great response to something that just kind of freak of nature. They learned something about their system there, too, about what they needed to change and do some stuff there. So, but yeah, when you start talking about power outages and stuff, and we talked a little bit about there, and I'm going to bring this up, this segment a little bit, is we are now opening up, and I have a what we call a vulnerable population registry. One of the things that we're working in within Greenwood is trying to find those individuals that are of need from maybe a evacuation standpoint, or if they've got medical needs or something of that, special medical needs, so that we can better identify that during an emergency to help us plan better at our level. And what we do with that registry is it's online. You go on, the information's kept and provided to our 911 center as well, so that if someone is headed there, they're able to give that additional information that this individual may be on oxygen, that this individual may be needing some other medical sent. And we're doing it also, maybe it's an autistic person, maybe it has Alzheimer's and stuff of that nature. So that's some of the things that we're trying to pull in to kind of help us, but also help the community as we go forward with that. And that's a website that you can go to out there. You can go to we'll have it up on our county website here in the next few weeks. We just changed over our county website. I don't know if you've been to the new one, so we've been kind of waiting to get that there before we jumped into this new process. So we're hoping to have that up in the next week or so, that people can start signing up. But if you want to sign up now, you can call me once again at that 942-8553 number, and we'll go ahead and start getting it in. We've got some individuals that we've already been working with to get some of that information and stuff in. So we've worked.
Well, it's pretty scary, particularly when we have our population living alone. We have a lot of elder population living alone. Mm-hmm. That's where Meals on Wheels is such a valuable service, to talk to these people. If you've got a neighbor up the street, you may know of somebody. They don't get out much. They're pretty much a shut-in.
Yep.
So they should be signed up for that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's another part of emergency management. But when do the hurricanes start, George?
Well, we're in hurricane season already. It started the 1st of June. It goes through the 30th of November. The peak area time that we have it in this area, well, at the peak for the Atlantic season anyway, is pretty much the end of August all the way through the middle of October. The peak day is September 10th. That's where it peaks, and then it starts kind of going down, and that's historical looks and stuff.
Wow.
So when you look at that, about late August all the way through that time frame, we're more susceptible, if you will, that's when more have hit in this area, or more have developed. So that's one of the things we, the state, prepares for. We're all a part of that process. We've met and talked through different plans on how things will go, and this app was part of that rollout this year to kind of help individuals do a little bit more. It has on there, I don't know, we do have people here that own property and down along the coast, so it's good to know. They have Do You Know Your Zone? Know Your Zone. And what that is, it tells you about evacuation. So whenever they call for evacuation, you would know based on this map that, hey, I'm in zone A or whatever, I need to leave the area. And that's the way they break that down. And it's all based off of surge analysis that they've done across all of the East Coast into the Gulf of Mexico. They've done all of those studies through FEMA, and I think it was Corps of Engineers worked with them, and they had some other agencies do it. But they looked at how a surge would come in, and they developed all of these evacuation zones. So there's a good bit of science behind those evacuation zones. They're not just arbitrarily pulled that says, hey, we need you to evacuate. So.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is how upset people get when they're evacuating and they close the turn all the traffic going away.
Oh, from 26, reverse.
And how upset people get that they have done this, but it's only logical when you look at the volume of traffic leaving an area.
Well, if you think about it, I think it was 1996 when Floyd hit. They didn't reverse lanes, and coming out of the, I know my uncle left Myrtle Beach. He was down there on vacation, and I think it took him 14 and a half hours to get back to Greenwood from Myrtle Beach. So that's really has been the tipping point across the state. That one there really showed us that we do need to do that versus waiting to do a reversal. And so that's the reason all of these plans have moved forward over the years. And now it's standard. The state reverses it, and it goes. You still have other roads that will go into the area. But in most cases, if we are asking people to evacuate,
you don't want to be going
we
in
don't
here,
want right? people to be going in. But we understand that some people do have to go, and we try to, we definitely have it open for people that need to go down, and maybe they're going down to pull out a relative or something like that. And so that's a part of the reason for that there. But that is also, and lots of people get upset when it's done because of the fact that it's probably like today, pretty sunshiny outside and stuff because, well, the reason for that is we don't want to have our responders, emergency responders, out directing traffic in 45 to 70 mile an hour winds and stuff before the hurricane comes in. So that's the reason you see that evacuation early and out of there.
Sure. And of course, you can always make a mistake and not the storm not hit. I mean, you can have all the intel in the world and then the hurricane changes its mind.
Yeah. Well, and that's true, too. And but, you know, that's one of the things it's better safe. I would much rather have people upset at me if I were doing an evacuation than to not be able to be upset at me. And so that's always a challenge. But that's one of the things that it's tough in this business, but it's always better, like I say, to have people upset at you than not to be able to be upset at you.
Sure. Now, of course, in our area, what was it, 3 years ago now that we had the really bad weather and
flooding
and all that kind
Correct.
Of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at as far as understanding the flooding? I know over there on, where was it? Right over there where Karen Petty lives, she was posting it on Facebook all the time, how it was flooded, all the water was flooded, and DOT came in, and they've cleaned it up. But
I'm trying to think where that was at.
That's over there where Food Lion is. Gosh, I should be able to tell you the road.
Oh, Sample Road in that area?
Over on the other side, yes.
Oh, you're talking about the Hidden Creek or road down in that area on the other side behind the Kia and
Kia coming up.
They have worked in that area, and that's some things that have gone on over there. I'll tell you, we're still waiting that 1 cent sales tax. There is a proviso in there, or a what is it? Not a proviso, but a
you're going to get some money.
Get some money to do a study of that area. That's one of the watersheds that are supposed to be done. They're supposed to be doing one over in that's considered the Sample Branch area. They're also going to be doing one on Rock Creek in there, and then they're going to be doing one, I think it's on Wilson Creek in those three areas. And so once that money from the 1 cent sales tax comes in, that was one of the projects. I think it'll be 19 or maybe 20 when that's going to be going on. But that's one of the things. We're still looking at things. We still find other places. I'll tell you, we've had some flooding, and I'd encourage people, if it's been raining real hard, be careful going over on Cobb Road at the I think it's a Dollar General and the Farmers Insurance there, mm-hmm. down Cobb Road on the behind the mall in that area. There is that area floods. I think this last time we had about 4 feet of water there.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it was from that 2 inches in about a little less than 2 hours. We got about 4 feet of water in that area, and we've had two people in the last, since May 29th, I think it was, that have been two different groups of individuals that have been stuck in that location, so because of water ponding. So if you're in that area, please be careful.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, too, if you see water that is piling up there, you know, don't think you can just go through it. You may not be able to.
That's it. If you can't see the road, don't go through it. You don't know how deep it is. And it's hard to tell right there because you have a real drop off real quick right in that area. And so that's one of the things to what they say is turn around, don't drown.
Right.
That's it. So, and it's hard to see sometimes. And I think both of those times have been after dark. But still, you got to be aware of those things. It's situational aware. So that's some of the things that we got to make sure our people are.
Now, how about all the dams and whatnot that they were repairing from that 2015?
Not all of them across the state have been repaired. I know they're still working on some.
How about in our area?
In our area, all of our dams are in good shape right now. One of the things that DHEC has done, and I just went to a class to learn how to use this, is they have come up with and partnered with Ole Miss and they have a program, that's the reason they do it, that helps do inundation studies for ponds, small water bodies. So that's one of the things they are doing across the state. All of these now are getting that. I'm able to do that here, so we've been going through, and it helps us look at it from the standpoint of, okay, if it does happen again, who are the individuals that are there? And we can continuously update this. It's at no additional cost. DHEC is partnered with them, so they're working through that process to do that. So we are working through those processes, making sure and all those dams are still not overflowing or right. Are better prepared. I know Chinkapin, Gatewood have done lots of work on their dams and stuff. I know North Lake and those have done some work on theirs too. So there's some other ones that are out there that have been worked on as well. So right now we're in good shape. However, we always look.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Because with some of these heavy, heavy rains that come down so quick, you just can't imagine how much rain or how much water is just flowing and so
It and that's a interesting thing, and we build a lot, and whenever a tree's cut down, it's amazing how much water a tree holds and stuff too, and so that increases that. So that's one of the things that part of this study will do, is looking at how much has changed over the last 20 years, I guess you would say, and how we can better mitigate some of that flooding. I can't tell you we'll stop all of it, but we'll hopefully be able to get as much of it stopped as possible. So, but that's still a couple of years down the road to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
You know, the other thing that we usually talk about at this time of the year is mosquitoes and standing water and everything. Mm-hmm. That can be an issue. And there certainly are enough mosquitoes, and there's enough ticks out there this year, too.
Oh, yes. The water has been plentiful for the mosquitoes and the ticks to reproduce. So, I will say the two words, tip and pour. If you do that every day, just go out and check your areas. Most of you know your yards better than I do. Hopefully you do anyway.
Hopefully you've been out there once or twice, yes.
And making sure that you're tipping and pouring anything that may have water, standing water.
Even a magnolia leaf, right?
Even a magnolia leaf. Rake your leaves up and stuff and make sure that they're there. It's a bottle caps and stuff are large enough to do that too. So tipping and pouring is an important thing to do this time of the year. And just wearing long sleeves, putting on repellent, those are the things we need to do. We haven't had any reports this year in the town, in the county. So we are working with DHEC. They've got a study going on in the county, too, to look at the different types of mosquitoes across the county that we have. It's something that they got a grant to do, so they've come into Greenwood County. They're doing it in numerous counties across the state, but we were selected to do it, too. So if you're out and you see something that says mosquito traps, that's what's there. They're trying to trap mosquitoes, and we're working over a few different locations in the county right now.
You mean they don't have people just go out there and stand?
No. Actually, it's an interesting thing. They actually capture the eggs and hatch them out and see what kind of mosquitoes
they are.
And so, and that kind of gives you a better idea of what, because different type mosquitoes will carry different type of viruses. So that's one of the things they look at, is how they best can count and see what types we've got out there. Because we haven't done that. They said it's been many years since they've really done a large trapping like this in Greenwood County.
Hmm. So that's another thing to be aware of. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back and close it out, go to the top of the hour. But you stay with us. My very special guest, George McKinney, Emergency Management. Very important. Stay tuned.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here talking damage, problems, and issues. If you've got one, you can give us a call right here. George is like totally amazed. What? People are calling? 229-7984. We've got some other issues out there, some that I think you're already aware of and some you may not be, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We always want to know where those are at, because it helps us kind of look through the process and see, and we can monitor that a little bit more as well on what may be happening in the county. And so when we start seeing heavy rains, we can also let our people go look in those areas and know too. So I'll take those that have called in and let those know what's going on, and we'll go out there and hopefully get a chance to look at that. May not be able to see it when it's flooding right now, and hopefully it right. won't be flooding, but at least be able to get out there and see what may be causing some of that.
Well, we've talked about a lot of different issues today. We've only got a few minutes left. I think, George, we ought to go back through the apps in case we had people that were tuning in after we started here, because we talked about some apps that you may want to look at. Why don't you go through? We got the Code Red app.
Correct. It's a Code Red mobile alert app. It is a free app. You can download it from Google Play or the Apple Store. It will give you information. You can set up a radius in there, and it will alert you if anything comes up within that radius, and you can do and see everything across the state or anything across the nation that's out there if you want to see those as well.
And if you're traveling, it's very helpful.
And that's what I was going to say. Traveling, when you're out, having it there, you go into an area. Like I was saying earlier, I had a friend who was in an area, and she has the app, and it just so happens that they had an event, and she got that on their app, and she was very surprised, but it really helped her out and be able to be safe in there. But it also has the weather app. It is free for the first 30 days. After that, you got to pay the whopping 99 cents to have it for the rest of the time that you have your app. So I would encourage you to do that, and that goes nationwide as well.
And then you actually don't have to call you, correct?
Well, they wouldn't have to call, and that's another thing, because I'm able to put that information, and every time I go out, I put that on this mobile app so that people get it as well, not just for those that are living here, but those that are coming in as well. So, yeah, you can use it on both. You don't have to sign up and put that information there. You'll have it at every time I put stuff out.
Yeah, you'll get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the other app there, George?
The other one is the South Carolina Emergency Management Division app. It is called the SC Emergency Manager. And what it is, it's also out there at Google Play as well as the Apple Store. And it gives you a little bit more focused emphasis in South Carolina. It is there. It gives you lots of apps that talks about preparing, how you should prepare, having a home plan and planning in that area, as well as it gives you information in other areas, such if you live in along the coast, it says know your zone, where you need to evacuate from. But it has other nice tools and stuff that can be used in there as well. One of them is it gives you your GPS location. Most phones already have it, but it uses your phone app, but then it pulls out where you're at. So if you're not at a specific address or you don't know the address you're at, you can always give that to 911. It also has the capability of having a flashlight, as well as it has a whistle bell that can go on there.
All the whistles and bells you could
want. Look at. So,
it has a strobe or something, and strobe, SOS will, or something.
That's correct. The flashlight will strobe also, or it will do the SOS. So if you're out at a place, especially it's dark, it'll help see that. So that's two good apps to get. They're both free. Like I say, the only thing, there is a little cost for the weather app after 30 days, the weather portion of the weather app, of the Code Red app. But outside of that, it's both of them's free and they're great.
Now the second one, the South Carol, is it? Do you have to spell it out, or is it South Carol SCEMD? What is the actual name of the app?
The actual name is SC Emergency Manager.
Okay.
SC Emergency Manager.
Okay.
So.
If you're interested in that, that sounds like a really helpful app, if nothing else, to be able to tell exactly where you're at and have it right there in front of you while you're talking on the phone to somebody. I think that's the other thing. You know,
Correct. There's
nothing worse than having to try to scroll back and then say, hold on a second, and you're trying to find it. Well, this has been very, very helpful. George, if someone has questions, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call me at 942-855-2255. Or they can email me at gmckinney@greenwoodsc.gov.
Okay, good ways. And if you've got a question or a problem, you need some help, George is the man that can usually at least point you in the right direction.
There you go.
George, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming out today.
Well, thanks for having me, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Y'all have a great afternoon, and make sure you check out your Facebook page and go ahead and vote if you think you know how many carats that big amethyst is on our Facebook page, The Antique Vintager Emporium, or Ann Eller, or WCRS.AM Radio. Check it out. Give us a guess. We'll be picking out winners in just a little bit. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.